The Beacon, celebrating when God uses the unexpected to do the unexplainable.
Hey, well, greetings and welcome to The Beacon. My name is Steve Woods. I am your host. I have in studio today a number of guests and a couple that have joined us by phone. But first, let me introduce our listeners to Jeff Blake.
Good morning. I'm excited for the show.
Jeff Blake is the superintendent of Phoenix Christian. We often say that The Beacon is not a show about Phoenix Christian, but it's a show made possible by Phoenix Christian. So, Jeff, thanks for that, and thanks for being here. Today's topic and today's guests are hero status. Like, it's such a cool thing to get to talk about the subject that we have today, and I'm really excited. When we first, way back many months ago, started talking about the show, the concept for today's show was one of the first things that I got excited about, and so now today it's happening. So thank you, listeners, for tuning in, whether you're listening live on 960 The Patriot, or you're catching one of the Evergreen podcasts, and you're sweating on the treadmill while you're listening. Either way, welcome. We're glad that you're listening today, especially because we think we're going to have a lot of fun today. So in the studio and as guests today, we have a number of guests, all of whom have in common a couple of things. They're all educators by trade. They are career teachers and have worked at various levels of administration and education. And the other thing that they have in common is they are all of their paths led through Phoenix Christian. They're all grads of PC, which is kind of a cool thing as well. This show's being recorded leading up to homecoming at Phoenix Christian this year, which Jeff will probably mention before the show's out, but it's a November 1st, 2019. If you're listening to us before that and you want to have a great time, come out. So let me introduce us to our guests without any further ado. And first and foremost, we'll go ladies first. Heather Van Sant, thank you for being here, Heather.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
So Heather and I met each other on the campus of Phoenix Christian. I had the privilege of having one of our daughters get to work with Heather, and she made a huge impact on our daughter Brittany and on many other students while there. Heather and her husband Mark are both teachers by trade, and today that expresses itself for Heather as a homeschool instructor for their four kids. So,
yes, it does.
Super, super cool, Heather. So glad that you could be here, and happy that that you could represent that sort of homeschool lane as we talk about education. Next to Heather in the studio, we have Justin McLean.
Good morning, Steve. Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
So glad you're here, Jay. It's really cool to have you on the show with us. Justin is the assistant principal and athletic director for Sandra Day O'Connor. Let's hear it for the Eagles, huh?
That's right. It's good to be here. We're up in North Phoenix off of Happy Valley and 35th Avenue. It's a large, very comprehensive high school. We're about 2,700 students, and it's a great community to be a part of. So
super cool. Well, really glad you're here, Justin, and thanks for kind of representing that true public lane of education for our show today.
You betcha.
Also with us by way of phone, we have Rich Pauly. Rich is with the Great Hearts Academy system. He's actually worked in three other different campuses, currently at Scottsdale Preparatory Academy. Rich, thank you so much for being on the show.
My pleasure.
It's just awesome that you're here. So in addition to Rich and Justin, Heather, we have one more guest, our guest from the East Coast today, calling in from Cornelius, North Carolina, which I just learned is near Charlotte, is David Callahan, Director of Operations, Middle School Social Studies, handles athletics, everything that needs to be done at the small Christian school. We have David Callahan. David, welcome.
Hey, Steve. Good to hear from you.
It's so cool to have everybody. So here's the thing. In this show, as we kind of have the opportunity to get to know our guests and we talk about education, Jeff, one of the things that we talk about a lot is how education has so many different expressions.
That's right. We were sitting in a board subcommittee looking at school choice and recognizing that Phoenix Christian is the benefactor of people having the opportunity to choose. And therefore, it seemed right for us to celebrate other paths of education. Families have the right in the state of Arizona, an incredible program, to make decisions where they want their child to be educated. So whether it's homeschool or a public school or charter systems, each school provides a unique opportunity for the student, and the parent has that right. And Phoenix Christian celebrates that opportunity.
Well, we think it's great. And again, this is a show we've been excited about for a long time. And, we serve a God that is infinitely creative. You know, we are all created uniquely, yet with his image, within his image. And you look at that and say, wow, millions upon millions of people over, you know, so many years and not two exactly alike. And so with that in mind and with that expression, we thought, hey, this would be a really fun way to look at the variety of options that are out there. And maybe you're listening today and you're like, yeah, you know, I've done this or we've thought about this, and maybe this will, there'll be something in the show that you hear today that'll be meaningful. But before we get into the education side of it, let's just get to know our guests a little bit more personally. David, we'll start with you. Tell us about your family, and you're a second generation teacher.
Yeah, actually, third generation teacher. So,
okay.
Family, I have three girls now. I am a father of three. It's crazy. We have a 5-month-old daughter named Sayla.
Nice.
And we have a 2.5-year-old daughter named Dottie. And our oldest is in pre-K this year here at Grace Covenant Academy. And her name is Eileen, and she's 4.5.
So great.
So wonderful family. My wife, Julia, we met in college at Geneva College in Pennsylvania. Moved back to Arizona for 7 years. I was honored and really had an amazing 3 years back at Phoenix Christian. I taught, so I'm an alumnus there, graduated in 06 with Steve's daughter, Brittany. Actually had Mark Van Sant as my social studies teacher my freshman year. And so it was cool to see. I think Mr. Van Sant back helping coach him still at PC?
Yes, he is.
And so pretty cool there.
He's got a couple of rings to show for it, too.
My dad just retired full-time teaching at PC after 18 years, I believe, or 19, as a junior Bible teacher, junior senior. And, PC's been amazing to me, but I'm actually the third generation.
That's so cool.
In my line, my grandfather taught at PC for about 2 or 3 years back, way back in 1952. And he was a basketball coach, PE teacher, and a few other things. But then my dad married his daughter, Sarah. And so they ended up moving back to Arizona. And my dad taught there at PC, and I went through from middle school to high school, graduated, came back, taught, and then, I got into administration.
It's incredible, David. Yeah. You know, I because you graduated with Britt, and we spent some time together, we were just hanging out and, you know, field trips and stuff, and I've gotten to know you fairly well, and I had no idea that your granddad had history at PC. That's really fun to find out. That's really cool. Well, that's great. And man, welcome to the 3-girl club. I have 3 daughters myself, and I'm going to recommend that you start saving now, because you're going to need all the scratch you can come up with. So, Rich, can give us a little bit of insight into you personally. Tell us your story, your family situation. You mentioned off the air that you came, joined Phoenix Christian kind of midway through high school. Did you move to Phoenix back then, or did you just come from another school?
My parents growing up were involved in Christian ministry.
Okay.
So, when I was real young, they were involved in, at Camp Barakel, which is in Michigan, which is, I think, the largest Christian camp, east of the Mississippi.
Cool.
And then my dad went into, self-supporting, ministry with Village Missions, which puts pastors in small towns that can't afford their own pastor. And so we did that for a number of years. Then midway through my junior year, my dad had promised my mom an opportunity to go to college when she was ready.
Mm.
And so she decided she was ready when I was halfway through my junior year. We moved down here, and we thought we were moving into Camelback High School's district,
but
it actually turned out to be North, which had newly reopened. I would be a junior with like 25 other kids. So, through that, God kind of led us to PCHS, so it was the Phoenix Christian, and that's where I graduated. I kind of went, my educational career, I went from growing up in rural public schools, then I graduated last year and a half at Phoenix Christian, went on to Grand Canyon, ended up later on at ASU, and then at Greatheart. So I've done the public, private, charter kind of thing throughout my educational career.
That's awesome. And don't you feel like having those different perspectives has been beneficial?
I think it's been incredibly beneficial to
me.
So.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, man, again, we just thank you so much for being on the show, and it's great to hear a little bit of...
Sure. If I don't mention my family, though, I'll be in lots of trouble. So.
Oh, great. Let's hear it.
This will be my 32nd year of marriage to my wife,
awesome.
Brenda.
Wow.
We have two girls, Grace and Glory. Both of them are mid-20s and pursuing degrees themselves. So,
well, congratulations, man. 32 years is...
Can't get to the three-girl club, but I got to the two-girl club. So.
Hey, that's a great club. I tell people, girls rule, man. It's awesome to be surrounded. I tell people that,
absolutely.
You know, you have to be careful in high school what you wish for, because all I really wanted was to be surrounded by beautiful girls when I was young. And so, you know, as it turns out, I've spent my life in a house with beautiful girls.
Yeah.
And
exactly right. Yeah.
God listens to those wishes and thoughts. Well, that's neat. So 32 years married, two girls pursuing their degrees now, and Michigan roots.
Michigan roots, yep. Go Big Blue.
Oh, that's funny. That's great. Well, so let's go to Justin. And Justin, give us a sense of your background. You have some ties that are here in Phoenix over a long period of time, too.
That's right. I graduated in 1998. I went to Phoenix Christian 7 through 12.
Ending that 30-year baseball championship drought, as I recall.
That's right. 98 was a really great year for that baseball program and a lot of fun, actually. A big highlight of my life, as a matter of fact.
Awesome. Tell us about your fam.
So I have four kids. I got three boys and a young daughter. And you are correct. She is a princess, and girls definitely do rule. The boys are fantastic. My wife graduated from Phoenix Christian as well. Didn't really connect too much with her in high school, and was fortunate to connect with her after graduation. We kind of found each other through athletics. We're living in North Phoenix. Life is good. Both of my parents attended Phoenix Christian. There is definitely a spirit of tradition and family and community that exists at Phoenix Christian, and I think we all have that sense within us, and it's great to be here. And Phoenix Christian was a great opportunity. I started coaching right after graduating from high school. Phoenix Christian gave me that opportunity, and I just continued from there. Went to school in San Diego, studied abroad a little bit in Spain, Madrid, and came back. Got a degree at ASU, and got the master's degree, and just continuing to improve. And so. That's where I'm at today, and Phoenix Christian has helped.
Well, that's awesome.
Those traditions.
It's awesome again to have everybody here, and we haven't forgotten Heather. We're going to come back in our next segment and pick up with the introductions. We want to thank everyone for tuning in to The Beacon today. You're in for a great show. Don't miss this next segment.
The Beacon is presented by Phoenix Christian, a school celebrating excellence in education since 1949. Learn more at phoenixchristian.org.
Hey, well, welcome back to The Beacon. Thrilled that you're listening in today and really excited about the show that we have. We have a group of educators that have been willing to invest some time and talk to us about different aspects of their craft and the different ways in which education expresses itself. So as we're picking up where we left off in that first segment, Heather, let's hear a little bit about the Van Sant Troop, man, the family Van Sant.
Yes, the Van Sant Troop. Well, I grew up here in the Valley. I was not born here. I was born in Indiana, but my father's a pastor, so he took a church out here over 40 years ago. I'm going to give my age. And so I was like 10 months when we moved to the Valley. My mom was a teacher, so educators both in the sense of one educates the heart and mentors that, and mm-hmm. the other one, the mind and the heart, as educators are. I went to a public grade school and then transferred to a private school in seventh grade, and then I was the first graduating junior high eighth grade class from Phoenix Christian.
How about that?
From the junior high. So I was in that first class, and then obviously finished the 4 years at PC. Then went on to get my education degree, both my education degrees at NAU, and taught in the public school system, and then at Phoenix Christian for a year. So then the Lord called me home to work, be a stay-at-home mom for a while. And then when the opportunity came, we the Lord decided that we should homeschool. I don't know if I would have said yes right away, but that's the plan he had for us and our family. So,
well, two boys, two girls, right?
Two boys, two girls. Yes, I have a...
You're a college student.
I do. We just graduated our first, and he is off in Texas getting an engineering degree, so and loving life. And then I have another senior, so mama's heart's definitely being stretched right now. So, and then I have a sophomore daughter, and then an eighth grader. So kind of that full gamut of – we had four kids in 5 years. So,
well, again, I mean, you're just like, okay – I mean, it's like, if we're going to do this, let's do it.
Let's do it quick. And then I am married to Mark. He is also a graduate of Phoenix Christian. We did not graduate together, though. He was in my sister's class.
Okay.
We met, well, I knew of him because he played baseball with my brother, but I was younger. And so he waited till I grew up a little bit. And then when I came home from college, we started dating. So, and we've been married over 20 years.
So awesome. And such a sharp couple, such a neat family. And you know, not unlike David, you have that sort of generational thing with teaching. Your mom, you know, taught over a pretty extended period of time, right?
Yeah, my mom, well, she retired just a couple years ago.
Just a couple years ago.
So she taught the whole time I was growing up, so.
Yeah, well, that's, so you grew up in a household. Let's talk about that for a second. Because one of the things that we wanted to kind of unpack first here, Jeff, is, you know, why teaching? How did I know? When did I know? What was it for you, Heather, that you said at some point, I mean, that's mom's job. You knew that that's what she did. But when did it become like, wow, I could see myself doing that? I mean, you have a sister that teaches too, right?
I do have a sister that teaches, yes. You know, I grew up setting up mom's classroom, putting up bulletin boards and stuff like that. So I always thought
training.
That part was fun. But it wasn't until I was in fifth grade and I had an amazing teacher, Mrs. Hughes, who took all of our interests into play. And she taught me sign language because I was interested. And she actually ended up teaching the whole class sign language. And that lit a fire in my heart to help those who could not speak in different ways. So
that probably was the first thing that you sort of sparked, and it was a learning experience, but then it was something you thought, man, this is making such a difference for me. Maybe I could be useful in making a difference like this for others, right?
Exactly. Yeah. That was with my dad on that. We went to, at Christmas that year, a trailer park, and I was got to use my sign language when we were singing a song, and there was actually a deaf man in the trailer park.
Wow.
And he started crying, and I was like, I want to do this. This is what this is about, being able to help and like communicate and teach. So that was that fire of education.
so cool. So how about you, Rich? Like, at what point did you realize, man, I could see myself going down this path?
Yeah, I took a non-traditional route, I think. So out of college, I got a degree in accounting and quickly got my CPA certification and worked in that field for about 10 years. And then I had an illness where I lost, during tax season, I lost 40 pounds in about 40 days.
Wow.
And was out of the office about 10 days at the end of tax season, which you just don't do.
Right.
At that time, a friend of mine that's also a PC grad, Greg Fraley, gave me a book called Halftime. Greg's actually probably my best friend, and a friend that I met at Phoenix Christian. So, but he gave me the book Halftime by Bob Buford, which is really designed for men in midlife crisis.
Right.
I was only like 30.
You're so advanced, Rich.
But it hit me at exactly the right time, and I worked through that while I was sick, and God spoke to my heart about that what I was doing was maybe not what I was called to do. And I went back to work on a Tuesday. They asked me to stay after on a Friday. I kind of felt like I knew where that was going to go. But it went a completely different direction. They offered me a path to partnership over the next couple of years. And I went home, talked about it with my wife, said, I don't think it's what I'm supposed to do. I think I'm supposed to be a teacher.
Mm.
And my wife's a 30-year career teacher.
Wow.
Who always knew from like junior high that she was going to be a teacher.
Okay.
And my beautiful bride said, looked at me and said, I've always known you were supposed to be a teacher. And so.
So Brenda was nothing if not supportive at that point. She's like, hey, you're.
Yeah. That's I went back in Monday, quit my job, and been involved in education ever since. So.
Well.
Took a big pay cut, but been in education ever since.
Well, good for Brenda. And good for Greg Fraley. Greg Fraley was a teammate of mine back in the day. He and his family have a long history of being committed to education, and a big shout out to Greg and the Fraley family.
Yep.
From the Beacon today. Well, that's really cool. And, you know, Justin, how about you? What was your epiphany? When did you realize, man, this is something I could really dig? Did it start with coaching for you?
Or coaching was a big factor in it. I feel like it was the sixth grade. Our teacher had us read to the kindergartners, and so we did that, and that was a lot of fun. And I got some recognition by that teacher. So that kind of started that spark, if you will. And then, that's right, coaching right after high school, and that opportunity opened up opportunities to teach as well. So a combination of those two pieces. Just really enjoying kids and just loving that educational process, that learning process, and being able to use athletics as kind of a foot in the door to educate people and hopefully impact their lives, just like my coaches had the opportunity to impact my life. So that's kind of what led me there. Those opportunities, I can't thank those people enough for giving me those. But that's kind of my journey, and I've been at O'Connor since 2002, and just continue to try to improve every single day in impacting others like I've been given that opportunity.
Well, and impact starts with relationships, and for you, like you said, it might have been on the court or the field that you had a chance first to kind of. Earn the right to speak into the life of a student or an athlete, and that really continues. So if you are just tuning in, we are featuring a really cool show on different expressions of education. I have some really great guests today. We're going to come back, hear a little bit more about why teaching for them, and we're just grateful you're tuning in. So please don't miss this next segment of The Beacon.
The Beacon is made possible by Phoenix Christian and listeners like you.
Hey, well, welcome back to The Beacon. I am Steve Woods, your host. Together with me in the studio, we have Jeff Blake, Heather Van Sant, Justin McLean on the line with us by phone. We have David Callahan and Rich Pauly. So thank you all again for being here today. David, we want to go to you and kind of pick up where we left off in the last segment. And have you give us that sense of, you know, I was 4 years old on my big wheel and God called me into teaching, or was it different for you? What was your story coming into teaching?
Oh, man. I live in North Carolina, but my heart will always be at PC. And
bleed green.
PC is, yeah, man, for sure. My heart is always there. And but the reason for that is two of my biggest life changes happened at PC. First is... when I was in middle school, man, I was a knucklehead. I got in a lot of trouble. Couldn't keep my mouth shut. Typical hyperactive silly kid. But
you can't see him, but Jeff's nodding in agreement.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no.
I got stories, David.
Well, just wait, Jeff. Man, I tell you. So anyways, I really had to face reality and say, hey, I got to shape up or I can't be a PC. So that happened before my freshman year, and God started to work. He started to change me. I'm getting ahead of myself, but the reason why I'm in education is because of Jeff Blake. Mm. He gave me a second chance to step into an area where many teachers didn't think I was ready. I wanted to be a part of student council. I wanted to be a part of leadership. And, man, freshman year, I wanted to run for class office, and he got plenty of emails, I'm sure probably more than he even explained to me, saying from our middle school teachers, don't you let that kid do that. He doesn't, you know, he's not fit. But, man, my heart, I still get shook up about that, saying, you know, there's somebody who gave me a second chance and an opportunity to prove myself. So as I look back, the reason why I'm in education, after I went through my undergrad, majored in history, I said, man, I don't know what to do. I said, well, I love kids. I love coaching. I like history. I said I could teach, I could coach, and I could impact kids the way I was changed. And so, man, that's the reason why I'm in education. And God just opened doors for me, you know, and it's led into leadership and some different things. But, man, I was just telling somebody the other day, the reason why I'm in this, the reason why I do it is because people like Mr. Blake or Mr. Van Sant or people, you know, I could think of all these people in my life who have impacted me. But when I was a knucklehead, they loved me. They gave me another chance. God's Spirit worked in me and changed me. And now, I mean, geez, I'm working in this middle school, building a middle school at a new place and a new school. And we have some knuckleheads here, right? And so,
well, and you're talking to a recovering knucklehead myself, so I get it.
Yeah,
I understand.
Yeah. By God's grace, right?
That's right. That's right.
So anyway,
that's really great.
So I just love it,
Jeff. You know, I'll give you a chance to respond to David, and that really segues nicely into the next thing I want to talk about, which is kind of the impact. Where's the impact lie? Both the, you know, having the opportunity to see God use us to impact others and also having been impacted by others. I'll let you take it from there.
Well, David, you're an inspiration, and stories like this are super encouraging because I'm sure everybody here listening and sitting at the table has some students that we're not sure about, but there's an element in us that we know that the education, one of the functions of it, is it takes people where they wouldn't take themselves. And I think I think if we could maybe initiate a little bit of conversation regarding impact, I'm sitting here reflecting a lot on the hidden curriculum of education, that what I'm listening to and a common theme is it isn't so much the content about what we are teaching, although that's extraordinarily important. Justin, inspired by the affirmation a teacher gave you when you read to some sixth graders.
Correct.
And David, inspired by someone that took a chance on you. And Heather, inspired by a mom and watching what she does and the opportunity. And it wasn't so much what they were teaching, but it was in these people were involved in life change. And I just want to kind of open that up for a minute. Justin, you talked about coaching for a second. I'd be really curious, reflecting back on that and your time at PC, that particular coach.
Oh, you bet. Well, Rick Roth, Mark Van Sant, Steve Drake, Danny Jacques, to name a few. Very blessed to have those guys instill hard work and quality work as well. So that, to me, is a foundation. And I kind of believe those same mindsets today. In the work that I do, whether it's working with coaches that impact student athletes or just working with students in general that impact others.
What was it, as you look back at you, some of those, that just real quick, the it factor, and take someone like Coach Roth, what was it that you saw in him, that element of electricity in the way he communicated?
I think he had a lot of passion and very knowledgeable about what he did. All the coaches and teachers that I mentioned, they had that passion, that drive, that desire to get the most out of their student athletes. And that's the same concept and the mindset that I live by today in trying to get the most out of those that I supervise or the students that I work with.
So passion is a great watchword, and we're going to pick up with that when we get into the next and final segment. Hope you're encouraged. Thanks for tuning into The Beacon.
Phoenix Christian believes strongly in its rich history and bright future, now equipping students from pre-K through 12th grade. Learn how you can help continue its legacy of Christ-centered education at phoenixchristian.org/support. You're listening to The Beacon, presented by Phoenix Christian.
Hey, well, welcome back to this special episode of The Beacon, sponsored by Phoenix Christian. Hey, if you're listening in and you're encouraged by what you hear and you're interested in other shows, you can find that at phoenixchristian.org/beacon. There's a short summary and even some hyperlinks topically that relate to the shows. So this is not the first show that highlights education. We've done a few, and if this is something that you're interested in, you can find other shows there and on many other topics that God has kind of put in front of us along the way. But you know, Jeff, we're at that point now where we're really kind of wanting to, in keeping with the theme of the show, realize, hey, how does God use the unexpected to do the unexplainable? How does God use the availability of talented folks that he's equipped for his glory and for the good of those around him?
Yeah, and, you know, I'm sitting here, I've given most of my life to Phoenix Christian and the unique educational expression that Phoenix Christian provides, but I want to tell you that daily, as I have the opportunity to engage with professionals that are gathered here in this panel, it's an opportunity for Phoenix Christian to be challenged by the strengths that we see in the public sector, by what we see in the charter sector, by what we see in the homeschool sector and other private schools. And so hoping to initiate a conversation and to allow each of the members on the panel this morning to affirm the expression of education in their unique role and responsibility and the strengths they each bring to the table. And I'm interested sitting here with you, Steve, to learn from them, to carry it back to my own school. And I hope the synergy here impacts each of us and each of our responsibilities when we walk out of here, even just ourselves a little bit better about what we do.
Yeah, that's great. And Heather, let's start with you, because if you think about education in general, in the way back machine, homeschooling was pretty much that's where it started, you know, the only option. And then they thought, well, let's get several homes together. We'll have a one room schoolhouse. And we'll put, you know, a number of different ages and we'll make that work. And so, you know, homeschooling today is so far beyond that, and the breadth and the opportunities and, you know, the things that happen. Tell us about your journey into that from the classroom, having been, you know, in the classroom, you and your husband, to say, hey, for our kids, I think this is what we're going to do. What did that look like for you guys?
Our oldest, well, like I said before, I had four kids in 5 years, so very busy at that time. But our oldest was five when we had our youngest, Rebecca, and she was a preemie. Yeah. And so with that came all of the medical stuff and the germs and all those things. So that was kind of came into play a little bit about that outside influence coming into our home, or you know, the germs mainly, and all the doctor's appointments. But we went to have Josiah tested, as every kindergarten does those placement tests. And he was already reading chapter books before kindergarten. And I was like, okay, this isn't, as a former teacher, I was like, this isn't really fair to a normal kindergarten classroom teacher to put a kid who is reading The Wizard of Oz in kindergarten when she's trying to teach the ABCs.
So as much respect as I can give to Mark, we have to say generally that clearly he took after you academically.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Sorry, Mark.
So we had, I had this child who's already reading in an infant who, you know, we were going to the doctor on a daily basis. So I knew the normal setting wouldn't fit for us. And when I talked to the schools, they were like, well, we're not really sure what to do with him. And that was hard. I'm like, okay, Lord, what do you have for us in this? And so we started the journey, and it wasn't what we were expecting, but it was an amazing ride. And I got to ignite the fire in each one of my own kids and see the difference, learning abilities and learning styles that each one of them had, and fulfill their purpose, what God has called them to do. So that is exciting.
Did you know when you started with the first one, due to the circumstances that were immediate that moment, his reading capability, the preemie, and just the practicality of what you're doing, and quite candidly, having the ability and the training that you guys did made it something that was a great option for you to begin with. Did you know then that, like, wow, I'm going to take him all the way into college when he leaves for college?
No. No,
you're thinking about surviving at the moment. You got four little kids, one of whom's a preemie. It's like, I'm not planning in advance. I'm trying to get through today.
No, Mark and I, from the very beginning, prayed that God would just give us the wisdom. And we took it year by year. Yeah. Just wanting to know, we wanted to do his will for us. Yeah. So.
That's really cool. And I'm impressed. And but you know, I think your son has your humility too.
Oh.
Okay, just want to add that in there. I'd like, Rich, if you could maybe affirm the uniquenesses that the Great Heart System. What's their unique contribution to the educational system?
Sure. So as I went back to left the county and got into education, I got introduced to Tempe Prep early on, before there was a Great Heart. By a friend of mine who knew me as a CPA, and they needed their books. I was going back to school at ASU, working on an educational degree, and he said they need somebody to do their books, and so I did that for them. When I graduated, I think I was attracted to the smaller classrooms that I grew up in small rural public schools, mm-hmm. and then at Phoenix Christian. So that was a big attraction to me. I also was a big reader growing up, and most of the great books that I read growing up, I read outside the classroom. And so having the opportunity for students to read those kinds of books inside the classroom, I thought was really attractive to me, too. So I spoke with my wife, and I said, I don't know if I want to go into public school or if I want to go into private school, or there's this brand new thing called charter schools. I think maybe that's where God's calling me. And we talked a little bit about it, and I think early on, and when I was at a camp, we had, the idea of salt and light, being salt and light in a community, really struck me as something that a Christian should do. And I had a great opportunity to grow up in a Christian home. I knew other kids didn't have that same exposure to truth. And so the idea of truth, beauty, and goodness really struck me as well. A lot of people don't know, but we're a public school, the same way that Senator Day O'Connor is. We get public money from public funding the same exact ways. We just have a little bit more freedom in how we design our curriculum. Ours particular one, the Great Hearts Academy one, came out of a parochial school model. It's very Jesuit-based, with the idea that if you teach individuals how to think, in particular how to think about truth, beauty, and goodness, that they will gravitate towards the ultimate truth.
If you, let me just jump in here, Rich. I think one of the things that's particularly inspiring with truth, beauty, and goodness, if you could just maybe give us a sentence or two on the intentionality that the organization places on each engagement and the opportunity that you have in the classroom. When I think of the Great Hearts model, one of the first words that comes to my mind is the intentionality of the system. Maybe just touch on that and give us some insight on that as an educator in the system.
Yeah, well, I'm a math teacher, but I think one of the uniqueness is too many letters, in which we look at great books, and particularly we're looking for the pillars, and the pillars are truth, beauty, goodness, equity or equality, justice. And so we're looking, and I think I'm leaving out a couple, so I'm not, this is me, not a Great Hearts spokesman, but we do a much better job with it. But so every discussion, and we have a human letters classes which combine literature and history, but those discussions are then moved towards those pillars, if that makes sense.
That's...
In my own classroom, and as a geometry teacher, it's the logic, and the logic then supports those arguments that they're going to read in the other great books.
That's absolutely perfect. And I want you to know, to the community at large and to educators, that is particularly inspiring. And David, I'd like to pull you into the conversation here, and if you could build on that, you know, as Christian educators, we believe that all truth is God's truth. And here's a charter public school affirming truth, beauty, and goodness. David, what is the, as you as a Christian educator, what does that look like expressed in your community? Particularly,
yeah, you're beautiful.
You're focused on social studies, so build on that.
Yeah. Especially, the way I describe it is, we get to freely, openly teach kids about God and God's world. Okay, and so what's great about that is, we do focus on universal truth, on big picture. Understanding of who we are in this world, our purpose, our reason for being here. And what's great is, man, you know, you get to follow up on the first and second greatest commandment, loving God and loving your neighbor, and truly trying to build leaders and young people that can think for themselves. Similar to what Rich was talking about with the Great Hearts Academy in a classical education, we are building on those foundations of truth. And the great part is we get to clearly just pull out a presupposition belief that, hey, there is a God, and he spoke to us, and he spoke to us through his word. And his word has everything to do with all the subjects that we teach, because this is his world, you know? And so that's been the coolest thing. And it's kind of funny, sometimes my students, because last year I taught Bible. And this year one of our teachers quit about a week, 2 weeks before school started. So my boss was like, hey, David, you're a social studies teacher, right? You want to take half of the load? And I said, okay. So as a good Christian school educator, I said, okay, sure, I'll do it. And but it's just been really renewing to go back to those foundations and remember that we get to just teach these kids how to see the world, how to know God, and how to love love their neighbor and impact their community.
David, that's great, and I appreciate you sharing that. And I wanted to hand it over here to Justin. Mr. McLean, as I think one of the words I heard you use when you were describing Sandra Day, you used expansive or extensive, the scope and the width mm-hmm. of the student body that you serve, the resources that come with that allow for you to provide a really neat program for your kids. Maybe you could build on
right.
that.
Right, and you said it. It's the kids. I think it's the kids, it's the parents, it's the teachers, it's the coaches, it's getting the right people on the same page. As a school, we're trying to be the best within our district and within the state, and setting those expectations high from the founding principal is the best in the nation. So we do expect our students to stay classy. It's a common phrase that we use on campus. We teach respect, accountability, integrity, excellence. Again, all of those strong foundations that I learned from Phoenix Christian. And we really do try to impact the people that we interact with positively. And it seems to work, but it's the people. It's building those relationships, those connections across the board, and hoping to retain quality teachers and coaches and continuing to try to meet those goals on a daily basis.
Well, you know, it's such a significant community. I mean, I think you mentioned it's over 2,500 in students, and then you spread that out to households and families and then all of the staff and whatnot. I mean, quite candidly, there's a lot of cities in America that don't have that many people, and that's how many you have there. And with that come, you know, resources and opportunities at some pretty high levels that might not be available in a smaller setting. So, Jeff, kind of put a bow on the diversity of the different things we've talked about here and bring us in.
Well, again, I think one of the common themes I'm walking away this morning with is the spirit of intentionality. And to hear Justin use a term like classy, as an educator and you're seeking to instill a culture in your campus, that's a beautiful word. I appreciate the challenge that it brings to your faculty of wanting to be the best nation, best in the district. To listen to Heather Van Sant and Mark Van Sant as homeschool educators, Heather in particular, the pursuit and the care for each individual child, to notice a unique gifting in your oldest and he's reading, and the unique gifting, frankly, that each of the other kids have.
Oh, yeah, just on that, like, that has been one of the joys, is to see where they are gifted and to align them for what they're called to do, touching their heart and like directing it towards that.
That's beautiful. And truth, beauty, and goodness in the great heart system. And then David, embracing the truth of God in the classroom and finding the way for biblical integration in every day. So this has been an incredible encouragement to listen to each of these educators, the strengths they each bring to the table. We celebrate in the state of Arizona that we have the opportunity for choice, that parents can determine where they want to have their child educated. And Phoenix Christian is proud to celebrate and affirm these opportunities with the listener this morning. If you want to learn more about Phoenix Christian, visit phoenixchristian.org. Have a great day.
Well, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to thank our guests especially for making time. I want to thank Jeremy in the studio that keeps us on track. We are so grateful for the chance to share a portion of your day today. We hope that you will tune in again and listen to The Beacon while we look at how God uses the unexpected to do the unexplainable. Certainly, we have some stories here today that underscore that reality. Make it a great day, and God bless every one of you. We'll look forward to the next episode.